There is no good or easy way to lose someone you love. How Kurt Barnes lost his wife was beyond heinous. What degree of anger or mental instability was necessary to consider, let alone do, such a thing? After 10 years of marriage, Kurt and Callie's life together in central Maine had become comfortable routines impervious to any major shifts or upsets. While not a perfect marriage, there was much more harmony than discord. As marriages around them disintegrated, Kurt and Callie soldiered on. He was a healthcare consultant, and she had just received a promotion to manager at the local Lester's, a big box store in town. They successfully juggled their schedules to accommodate the kids' school and extracurricular activities. They had dreams of moving to a warmer climate after the kids were out of the house. They were a typical, middle-class family with middle-class dreams, in a neighborhood where the most egregious thing to occur was the paperboy flinging the Draycut Campion Star Ledger and missing the front steps. This is why August 20th, 2008 came as such a shock, not only to Kurt and the kids, but also to the entire community. When Kurt and Callie had disagreements, it was usually over how to manage their children, Caitlin and Cade, 7 and 5, respectively at the time of Callie's death. The kids could get into battles over virtually anything. On one occasion, while Kurt and Callie were digging a new garden in the backyard, Cade and Caitlin were playing in the house. Cade, irritated by something Caitlin had done, got his super soaker and drenched his sister. In response, Caitlin called 911 and screamed to the operator that her brother had shot her. Cade started shooting her with the water gun again. Caitlin dropped the phone and ran screaming through the house with Cade in hot pursuit. The 911 operator had no choice but to follow protocol. In minutes, two police cars pulled into the driveway, and officers emerged, guns at the ready. As one officer rounded silently to the back of the house, Kurt and Callie heard, "Stop right there! Drop what's in your hands and turn slowly towards us!" It was unfortunate that the new garden looked more like the beginnings of a burial plot at that point. As Kurt and Callie followed the officer's instructions, Caitlin and Cade burst out the back door, screaming, "Mom! Dad! The police are here!" They managed to sort everything out, and luckily none of the police officers had itchy fingers. The kids got a stern lecture from Officers Zydek and Schweikert. Mom and Dad imposed house arrest for 2 weeks, and Cade's super soaker and an airsoft gun ended up in the local landfill. At the time, it was a big deal, but Kurt and Callie could laugh about the incident months later. They would tell friends that those were the most peaceful 2 weeks they had had in years. On that fateful day in August, around 3 p.m., when Caitlin and Cade got off the school bus, smoke and flames had just started to escape from the upper floor of their house. They had the good sense not to enter the house, and instead ran to the neighbor to call 911, this time for real. As they stood helpless in the front yard, waiting for the fire department to respond, they heard not only their mother's screams, but also the wild, unintelligible ranting of a man.
"Mommy!" the kids cried repeatedly. "Mommy!"
Soon, Mommy screamed no more, replaced by the snap, crackle, and pop of a fire that was starting to consume the upper floor of the cape nestled amongst a stand of white birch. Still, they heard the rants of a man whose screams were at first guttural and then would crescendo to an almost hyena-like laugh. Words, unintelligible at first, got louder and clearer. As neighbors began to congregate and try unsuccessfully to calm the kids, Kurt pulled into the driveway. He had come home early so that Callie would be able to work the late shift. He was unprepared for the scene. Caitlin and Cade ran to him. They couldn't speak and were only able to utter a choking kind of inhaled "ha, ha, ha," as if they were trying to catch their breath. The smoke, now reaching the neighborhood bystanders on the lawn, stung their throats and eyes. In the distance, the sirens of the fire department finally announced their imminent arrival.
"Ma, ma, mommy," Caitlin sobbed. She's...
As Caitlin tried to complete her sentence, the ranting man in the house crashed through the front door. He stood on the front step with his arms raised in victory, in his right hand a propane torch, in his left a can of kerosene. His left trouser leg and left shirt sleeve were smoldering, and parts of both his left leg and left arm were charred black and seeping something bloody and gelatinous. If he felt pain, he didn't show it. As if in a trance or responding to some stimulus only he could hear, he kept repeating, "Yes," in rhythmic intervals.
"Yes, yes, yes."